The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
How matzah is made. At Streit's Matzah Factory, production follows strict Jewish law, but the meaning of the Passover staple is still up for debate. By Dina Shanker. When Aaron Yagoda started working in the family matzah business in 1990 at 23 years old, his first assignment was taking orders over the phone and handling complaints. Since then, a fair amount has changed at Aaron Streit Inc., better known as Streit's, most notably the company's location. It moved from Manhattan's Lower East Side to a larger factory in upstate New York in 2015. But a lot has stayed the same, including Yagoda's commitment to responding to unhappy customers. "We always get a letter from someone in Florida," says Yagoda, the executive vice president and fourth-generation co-owner. One recurring complaint? The spelling of matzah, M-A-T-Z-O. The 100,000-square-foot facility in Orangeburg is a modern version of what the company opened in 1925. It's also the only kosher-for-Passover mechanical matzah factory still running in the U.S. While there are still matzahs being made by hand domestically, kosher food powerhouse Manischewitz acquired matzah brands Goodman's and Horowitz Margareten years ago, and in 2019 it moved production to Israel. Manischewitz was later acquired by family-owned kosher food distributor Keiko. Streit's old operation on Rivington Street, which took up four tenement buildings, was turned into condos. "I don't like seeing it, so I don't go back that way," Yagoda says. Most of the work takes place on a single floor now, but the recipe for Passover matzah is exactly as it always was. As Yagoda puts it, "It's flour and water. It's in the Bible." There is perhaps no food more Jewish than matzah. While it's available all year long, and non-Jews eat it too, the large, usually square, bland-tasting cracker is the most recognizable symbol of one of the most important Jewish holidays, one also known as Chag HaMatzot, or Holiday of the Matzahs. Fleeing their Egyptian enslavers, the story goes, the ancient Israelites baked their bread in such a hurry that they didn't have time to let it rise. Hard and flat, unlike the fluffy challah found on Sabbath tables the rest of the year, matzah is considered the bread of freedom. Eating it every year at Passover is an act of commemoration. Streit's generally sells about 2.5 million boxes for the 8-day holiday, or 7-day for those celebrating in Israel, which this year starts on the evening of April 22nd. In the months leading up to Passover, the matzah factory runs all day and night, from Sunday morning through Friday morning, with a break for Sabbath. Streit's Passover products, which go far beyond matzahs and include chocolate-covered macaroons and jellied fruit-slice candies made at a separate facility in New Jersey, drive about 60% of annual sales. During the rest of the year, the company produces several flavors of matzah, such as egg and onion, and lightly salted. But traditionally, for Passover matzah, not even salt is allowed, because any extra additive could cause the matzahs to rise. Jewish law strictly regulates the matzah-making process. 5 mornings a week, as Passover preparation is underway, tankers deliver 50,000 pounds of white flour, which are then piped into silos inside the factory. The flour is sifted before it proceeds into the mixing room, a small, lofted space. "There's a lot of religious stuff happening here," says Danny Kaplan, vice president for operations. The flour is combined with room-temperature water in large bowls, and from that moment, only 18 minutes can pass until the matzah comes out of the oven. The time limit is meant to prevent any leavening, which would make the matzah chametz, the Hebrew word for foods forbidden during Passover. But it also carries a spiritual symbolism, says Rabbi Jeffrey Benenfeld, in a phone interview from Jerusalem, where he retired in 2006 from his synagogue, Young Israel of St. Louis. "A slave has no control over his time, but someone with too much time isn't really free either. It's that very discipline that triggers freedom," Benenfeld says. Passover comes once a year to say, "Look, you need to sit down with yourself and reevaluate. What are we doing with our time?" After mixing, the two-ingredient dough is dropped into a hopper, essentially a large funnel that releases it downstairs to the main floor. The dough is then rolled out into four thick sheets that are layered on top of one another in a staggered pattern, which gives it a flakiness. From there, the dough is rolled into one thin layer, which is sent through a machine called a stippler to create the familiar corrugated look and texture. This single sheet is then cut into six strips, and then into perfectly stippled squares, which roll along a wide conveyor belt monitored by two employees looking for imperfections. Folded pieces, or pieces flopped on top of one another, are fixed with a long metal spatula. The raw matzah, either flattened or, if deemed irreparable, flung onto a pile of discards. Excess matzah dough becomes animal feed, Kaplan says. Chickens really like our matzah. All the while, a mashgiach, a religious supervisor who ensures all Jewish laws are being followed, walks the area with an air gun to blow out stray bits and pieces of matzah from old batches, whose presence would represent an extension of the 18 minutes, thereby invalidating the kashrut, or dietary rules, of the Passover process. Of the 35 daytime shift employees, five are mashgiachs. Finally, the matzahs make it into a 735-degree, 110-foot-long oven, by far the longest this food reporter has ever seen. They are in and out in 90 seconds flat, completing their entire production time in 14 and a half minutes, well within the 18-minute mandate. On the way out, a final mashgiach eyes every matzah one last time. A mechanical scanner then does the same, allowing only perfect matzahs through. Robots, another upgrade from Rivington Street, lift, stack, wrap, weigh, and package the matzahs into 16-ounce boxes. Anything broken is relegated to matzah meal, a flourish substance that Streitz also sells. That attention to detail hasn't kept complaints from coming in when a matzah, brittle by nature, shows up in fragments in a box. I say, "Oh, we knew one piece got out broken. We're so glad you called," Yagoda says. Human workers place 30 boxes into a case, five at a time, and then they are off to their final Seder table destinations. But there's another, equally important side to matzah. It's also known as the bread of affliction, because it's what the Jews ate not just when they fled slavery, but also while they were shackled by it. "We used to eat that while we were in servitude because it was slow to break down," says Rabbi Morty Kuessis of the Benaroya Sephardic Center at Congregation Achavath Torah in Inglewood, New Jersey. In other words, matzah stays in the system longer than other foods. Anyone who has eaten matzah for the week of Passover knows what this is like. The dichotomy of slavery versus freedom, the journey from one to the other, embodied in the matzah, is at the center of the Seder, which implores participants to discuss these themes and their complexities. "One walks away from the Passover story with two incredibly divergent ways of thinking," says Rabbi Mark Katz of Temple Ner Tamid in Bloomfield, New Jersey, and the author of The Heart of Loneliness, How Jewish Wisdom Can Help You Cope and Find Comfort. On the one hand, Jews were slaves, so they must help others in need. On the other, Jews have been oppressed for generations, so they must take care of themselves. Says Katz, "Each of us needs to forge our own path between those two poles." As for Yagoda's thoughts on the meaning of matzah, 34 years into churning out millions of boxes, "We go by bread of affliction," he says.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.